Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention, please?
Attention. 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 Do I have everybody's attention now? Burn it
down! This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Finally!
Scotty Villa brings you your new favorite pro wrestling podcast.
There is nothing you could do that is more dangerous than wrestling CM Punk.
He's got the latest in covering all of the major promotions in professional wrestling.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Breaking news and hot topics, he's covering everything from Monday night till Sunday night's main event.
I'm the hottest thing in professional wrestling. I'm Dr. Britt Baker.
And we never forget to go old school.
I was rowdy before rowdy was cool.
From the golden era.
The irresistible force meeting the immovable object.
To the attitude era.
And if you're not done with that, Philly's got two words for ya.
To the revolution.
It's about the 14 years it took me to go from undesirable to un-goddamn-deniable.
And everything in between.
Superkick Hotel!
This is your pro wrestling podcast. This is In My House.
Give me a hell yeah!
Welcome to my
Welcome everybody to the In My House Wrestling Podcast. It's Scotty Villa. It's Monday Night Mike.
Jesus Christ!
Holy shit,
dude! Well, welcome everyone to the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Is what he was trying to say.
Yeah. Well done, Mike. Well done.
Hey, no problem. No problem.
Hi, guys.
Well, guys, excited.
Really excited.
A big weekend of wrestling. Continue on, Scotty. See if you can speak again. Here we go.
Scotty V here. Monday Night Mike, UK Tom. It's the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. You can follow us on all of our social medias at In My House Pod. What's going on, fellas? We've got a lot to get into on this show, but I feel like it's been forever since we've sat down and chatted, even though it's only... Well, who wasn't here last week? Was someone off last week?
That was me.
Okay, and then was Mike off the week before?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, that's... Yeah, okay. It's been a while.
I mean, apparently when people don't show up for work, they're just on fucking assignment. It's Toyota Tom.
No, I'm on assignment. You're fired.
Fuck you. Unbelievable. UK Tom's on assignment, this bitch says.
It sounds good. Sake. It sounds good. Oh, man. We got to get into it because last weekend, like we talked about last week, was a jam-packed pro wrestling weekend. We're talking NXT Great American Bash, we're talking AEW All In, Saturday Night's Main Event, and WWE Evolution all within one weekend. And we, for the conglomeration that is the In My House Pod, we've watched almost pretty much all of it. So where do we even start? Do we just quickly touch on NXT Great American Bash? I know myself and UK Tom.
No, there's it. Nah, there was nothing of great value, really.
Okay, I'm glad we're on the same page. So I was like, yeah, that's really grabbed me. It just didn't hit.
I enjoyed the show. I've forgotten everything that happened. So yeah. Moving on.
All right.
That speaks volumes to what kind of show that was.
Monday Night Mike. I know you've watched chunks of AEW All In. Much like Tom, I kind of followed live in the moment on Twitter, just keeping up with the show because it was a heavy show. It's their biggest show of the year, basically. So I followed along on Twitter.
I've watched a couple of the matches since.
Oh, really? Okay. I'm the only one that's got a job, I guess. So go ahead, guys. What did you watch? What did you have time to watch?
If the show wasn't so long, this would have been a nice one to sit in the same room together and watch.
6 hours. That show was six hours.
Think about us going to WrestleMania when WrestleMania was what it was. Right? Like, that day is long.
Yeah, Mike,
this is that. They're not a two-night show company. They weren't getting both nights in that stadium.
I think you could still cut some stuff out. There's probably some stuff on that AEW All In show that, yes, was probably fun, and yes, it was championship matches and this, this, and that, but that's almost a full work day sitting in your one spot.
You're not wrong.
Show.
And the crowd suffers for it because of pacing for the show. Like, there's some matches where you're like, damn, there is, it feels like there's no one there.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when the crowd gets back into it, like, I think the crowd was tired, but then the Box versus Swerve Strickland Will Ospreay happened. Mm-hmm. And everyone was right back in it. I see Tom. You guys can't see Tom's face. I can see Tom's face. The match is fucking incredible. That match is fucking incredible.
Yeah, because two of the talents in it could wrestle a fucking broomstick, and two of them are dumb cunts.
Ain't that Tom right, loves bruv? The Outback,
so he obviously, yeah. Yeah, that's a huge standout. Like, if you're going to go try to seek out a match, I'd seek out that. Tony Storm, Mercedes Moné.
Fantastic.
I'd seek out it fan-fucking-tastic. Like, the build for that was great, and then for that match to deliver the way it was, just adding on to the great weekend for women's fucking wrestling, for pro wrestling as a whole. Omega Okada, it's a slower version of what those guys have done in the past. I mean, you see what Tony was trying to do when booking that, and it was never going to have the steam that their initial series had. Still really good, still really fun, but it's definitely slower pace than what you remember. And then an incredible main event.
Obviously, like, I was going to tune in for a main event for a death match. Obviously, yeah, I was going to watch that.
Yeah, it was really well done, and for a night where I think it was like giving the crowd or the AEW fans what they really want, right?
Yeah.
And they did not want to see John Moxley hold that title anymore.
Ew.
Well, the curious thing I think about was the press conference. I watched most of the press conference, actually, because it was on YouTube afterwards. And Tony straight up said at the beginning of this story, it basically wasn't supposed to be Hangman to win the championship on this night. Like, they changed the course because he listened to the fans. For the title to be changed now instead of later, or maybe it's not Hangman, maybe it's somebody else later on. But I like that. I like that he admitted that. I like that he owned up and said, "Yeah, it had to be done. This is what the crowd really, really wanted. Now we're gonna see where it goes from here." And Hangman's our champion, so I do like that. I like that he spoke about that.
I think it's a better move if you can you can give the crowd what they want by still doing your own thing. Have that stuff pay off in the long run anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They're fair. Still turned. If your fans are going to leave because your guy didn't win the fucking belt, it's fucking pro wrestling, man.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Your guy's not always going to fucking win.
Well, I think it's two things here. One, I truly think it was Darby that was going to win it. I think last week, Mike, you and I both said Moxley's retaining. It felt like this whole storyline was set up to elevate Darby to the next level and be a world champion.
I don't know.
We
should watch AEW product more.
On the flip side of that, though, you've done such an awesome job at building up Hangman Adam Page again with this, what, year and a half, 2 year long story with him and Swerve, the split with the Bucks, all that stuff that the crowd wanted. The
cool haircut so he got.
Well, the Martha Stewart haircut needs to fucking go. Don't ever do it.
You
again,
like hanger. That? I thought you loved that hanger. Like, he's your pal.
Hey, best pals. He's going to teach me how to be a cowboy.
The return of like a loud cowboy shit too was, I'm like, cool. Like, maybe this company, granted, it's their big show. Mm-hmm. If I tune into Dynamite, I'd probably be irritated as all hell.
I can't wait to watch Dynamite.
Like, the idea, Brody King should be champion. That's all I have to say.
I want to give them credit for this. Then Tom, I'll throw it to you. I love the fact that up until last Saturday, Hangman's been coming out of the quote unquote heel tunnel or heel side. And at the show, the camera was on the heel side and they had to pan over and go, oh, he's over here to the baby face side. The AEW crowd ate that part up and they brought back his original entrance music and entrance video, which was baby face style. Again, huge pop. To me, that's like, you're listening to the fans. You're giving us little things that we pay attention to and we love. So big pops for that. But Tom,
great match, enjoyed it. I thought that heel and face tunnels are fucking stupid, but the rest of the match,
I kind of with Tom.
There's the name of the episode.
I very much enjoyed the match, and for all of his detractors, when John Moxley is in the mood to go out there and have a match, he's fantastic.
I agree with Tom. It really felt like, you know, I'm going to lace my boots tight tonight and we're going to put on a show.
He kind of, I can't think of an example, but he's one of those guys that when he's bad, he's fucking awful. And when he is great, he's great. And there's not much in between.
Yeah, that's perfectly well done. You're the death match guy here on the show, Tom. Yeah. Were you satisfied with it? Like, there were some pretty big spots there, like a DDT onto the nail bed that wasn't the end of the match. We saw some things that, man, I mean, that probably should have did him in.
Any match that's got a nail bed in it, I'm going to be very happy. I've never seen a DDT on a nail bed before, and I kind of, they did as much as they can get away with in AEW.
Yeah,
I think so.
Okay.
And anybody who expected any more than that, shut up.
Yeah. I like it. Cool. I'm most likely going to be watching a good handful of matches this weekend for AEW All In. I just, the big matches that we've mentioned, and there's a couple more that I'm really, really interested to see. I want my own opinion on Okada and Omega. A lot of people were not pumped about it. What Mike said,
it's
a slower version, but it's still good. Like, and Tom said too. So I kind of break down, like, did we get Omega Okada Fed style? Like, was it that?
It's a great way to kind of set that up. It's not that there's not high spots.
We got older Omega and Okada.
Yeah. Speed is definitely decreased. Like, it's, and I think Okada was told too. He's like, you're coming here. Like, you don't have to kill yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is your pension.
Yeah.
Yeah, agreed.
Nice. All In, great show. I didn't hear, outside of the length of the show, I heard nothing negative about All In. So
I don't understand wrestling fans complaining about having that much wrestling to watch. And I'm not having a shot at anybody here.
No,
anybody in particular.
See, I knew this was going to come up.
But see, my thing is, I could never complain about the length of the show, because on my bucket list, it's to go to the Collective, which is 4 days in a row of 15 hours of wrestling.
Being there and being on your couch is so different.
That's that's fair.
Yeah, like good being point. In it is so much different. Like, the environment sucks you and everything too. It's draining watching anything at home that long.
That's fair.
Binging a series, watching like back-to-back movies, you're just like, that's just a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, it's but very much like
it's a 6-hour show.
It's a 6-hour show. Like, if I watch Monday Night Raw, which is thankfully now no more than like 2.5 hours, cool. If I want more wrestling, I can just go on YouTube or Netflix or whatever, right? If I'm locked into a 6-hour pay per view, I kind of can't really get up and fuck off and do anything else. I'm locked into that purchase.
A weird thing for me is Raw. I'm absolutely done by the 2-hour point. Anything that's got commercials in it, I'm not fucking interested. You give me an 8. I'm one of the very few that when WrestleMania was 9 hours or whatever, I loved it.
Oh, Mike was sleeping on my floor. He was having a nap in the middle of that show. That's
there was one too. We both fell asleep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know if it was a Mania or a SummerSlam, but we both were just like, fuck.
I think it was a SummerSlam, but it was the best cuddle I'd had in years.
I
remember 1 year, I still lived in England and James still lived in Canada. I was stayed up to watch WrestleMania, and it started, I think, at 11 p.m. UK time, which would have been 4 p.m. in Saskatchewan, I think. And James went to bed before I did.
Man.
Yeah.
Speaking of good wrestling, though, we got Evolution 2 this weekend.
We did.
Man.
We did.
What a show.
Fun fact for the listeners, show I watched before. Scotty Villa and UK Tom. Shocked. Utterly shocked that it never happens. It's either at the same time or I'm not watching it.
it's also a very rare time all three of us finished that show at different times.
Yeah. It was hard too because like UK Tom doesn't like spoilers whatsoever. So say nothing in the group chat, let him catch up. But for Scotty, I was like, this is the best show WWE's put on all year.
Very much appreciated, by the way.
Oh yeah. It was one of those things where I'm like, yeah, I'm going to watch it live because I knew I was going to get to it because Saturday Night Main Event can fuck off. They basically found a way to hammer in another episode of Raw in my week. Do that in 90 seconds on TikTok as well. Guys, I've shaved down my weekly wrestling viewing time to 90 seconds. It's incredible.
you're the Dolph Ziggler of this podcast. Oh, I don't watch wrestling. What are you talking about?
it's perfect for me to watch less of weekly televised wrestling. But Evolution, when I turned it on, I'm so happy I did. I'm so fucking happy I did.
Yeah.
That show, man, you finally, like, again, no real build for Evolution.
Not really.
There wasn't. And that, and the show just home run after home run.
Even Jade Cargill had a good match.
Awesome, I think, man. Jade's getting better. I think we've always, like, the positivity's been going up for Jade.
Oh, for sure.
I think, yeah. But I agree. I think it was, like, an awesome match.
I mean,
is that your highlight of the night? Was that?
Oh, no.
No, Jade, awesome match with Naomi, and, like, it was a no-holds-barred hardcore match, whatever you want to call it. Fantastic job. Hardcore matches make it a little bit easier to hide some things that maybe someone's not super good at, like technical wrestling, but
it was Jade's first one though.
Right? Mm-hmm. So they did a great job. The Naomi character right now is firing on all cylinders since she's turned heel. It's been phenomenal. It's been so much fun to watch. She's really delved into her character, which is great to see. It's something completely different from anything we've seen with her before. The women's tag team fatal four-way match was a blast, an absolute blast.
The reaction Charlotte was getting shocked me.
Charlotte's still a fucking star.
Yeah, but she's not, I don't know how to say this, she's not usually somebody that the fans get behind, even when she's a babyface.
She's not likable. Charlotte Flair, the
character, she's not likable. I'm not sure Ashley Flair is likable.
I don't know much about her other than the article. I think this article that she put out on The Athletic a day or two before helped the
Tiffany Stratton stuff.
Yes.
Oh, I did read that.
I think that helped quite a bit going into Evolution with the crowd being like, you know what? We're just shitting on her for the sake of shitting on her because she's always pushed to the top, but she's getting the Super Cena push. Maybe we should take it easy on her. Also, like the week before that, too, that report came out of the amount of abuse that wrestlers take, and Charlotte was number one. She takes the most online abuse, according to this poll or this graph, whatever you want to call it.
For sure.
So maybe some people like said, "Man, fuck, I'm gonna dial it back." Plus, I think her with Alexa Bliss is really fun. It's a fun little. It kind of reminds me of the bar back in the day with Sheamus and Cesaro, like not like
each other. But
terrible. So,
but it's working. People are really high on Alexa, and you could tell that the character Alexa is trying to break this hard shell of Charlotte Flair, and I think that's the road we're on.
You want to know the one thing I didn't like about the show?
What didn't you like?
I don't like that Jordynne Grace lost again.
Oh, I think that was the weakest match on the whole card too.
JC Jane was in it, so
I thought it was a good match.
See, to add to women getting just verbally abused by the wrestling community.
I didn't say anything mean. I said the truth.
I mean, Bob, you should talk who you want. These are characters. It's not the person I fucking hate. I don't know you, Charlotte Flair.
I mean, Jordynne Grace is a monster and should be booked as such.
Get all this in now. Because if she hits the women division, I want to see that happen in the big leagues.
And there's not many matches involving Charlotte Flair that I actively want to see anymore because she's been around for so long. Charlotte Flair versus Jordan Grace.
Yep.
Take my money.
Yep. Agreed. I want Charlotte to win the tag titles. I want her to go after that IC title and that US title. Just stay away from world championship for a while.
Yeah.
Help build those other championships up. Get good booking to go with those championships and those feuds, and you will get Charlotte Flair over like a motherfucker. So,
and turn up to wrestle.
Yes.
Actually start putting some effort in. She's the same as Jon Moxley. We've said this before. I've definitely said this before.
For Charlotte, when, you have.
When she's bad, awful. When she's great, one of the best of all time.
It's like when she has to work down to an opponent that's not at her level. It never goes well. Never goes well. But we have to talk about the main event, guys. The main event of Evolution. Even before the ending, we saw a fucking 10 out of 10 wrestling match between Rhea 100%. Ripley and World Heavyweight Champion Io Sky. That could have main evented WrestleMania and everyone would have went home happy. It was phenomenal.
Also, you should really watch Toni Storm and Mercedes Monet because both of them are in the conversation for my match of the year.
Wow. I can't wait to watch that match. But
it's very good.
Toni, but this for ending a show called Evolution where you're shining the light on the women's division. Holy fuck.
We got to talk about the cash in.
Yep.
I did not see that coming.
Definitely would not have guessed that either. Neither of us said it on our picks last week.
Yep.
I think we all, well, I certainly assumed, and I assume a lot of people assumed. That's a lot of saying assumed. Anyway, I think we all assumed Jade was going to win the title at SummerSlam and Naomi was going to screw Jade out of the title and take it from her. Cause that's the obvious continuation of that story. Mm-hmm. I'm really glad they didn't do that.
Yeah. Knowing what we know now. Yeah. And Naomi even kind of alluded to that on Raw. She's like, you didn't think I was going to cash in here. You thought I was going to go a different road, but I didn't. I'm here. I'm the champion. I'm on Raw now. And
yeah,
Mike and I didn't even bring it up because every now and then like, when we do picks, I'll throw in like, oh, is someone going to cash in for a bonus point? I didn't even do that because it wasn't on my radar at all.
Heck no. Stuff. Oh, for sure. Excellent stuff. Too bad this Naomi run will be useless.
I don't think so. I think she's going to have a good run with Rhea. I think they're going to have some great matches. I think Rhea is the way to go.
Oh, yeah. They really got a lot out of that Jey Uso. Right.
Oh yeah, that did a lot for everybody involved.
That's got. Remember main event Jey Uso.
Look, I think we all know that when I make a prediction on a wrestler, it's always wrong. So never going to work out.
I mean, so happy to hear you say it.
One thing that Triple H disappointed me a little bit this weekend.
Oh. What did Paul do
at the press conference? When he was asked about Evolution being annual, he did his kind of, we'll do it when it's called for, when it's need. Motherfucker, the crowd reaction and the talent you have is calling for it. Yeah. Do it.
Yeah. It was literally legitimately one of the best pay-per-views in wrestling all year. They're calling for it. People are praising the show and praising the wrestlers because they fucking killed it with zero buildup, with fucking bullshit buildup. And you had, 10,000 people in that stadium too, or that arena too? Fuck off, Paul. It's time.
Every single woman on that show turned up with their boots laced, ready to go and prove a point. And they did. Even Nikki Bella. And I can't say the things I want to say about Nikki Bella out on air. She worked hard. I can't even criticize her.
Agreed.
It makes, you know, here's that question where you give the women their own show. And to me, it's like, okay, you're lesser than. Get them on Mondays more regularly. Get them on Fridays more regularly. It should be a 50-50 split on pay-per-views to women's matches to men's if you feel that way. It's hard to say because what are you just saying? You're just like, fuck it. You get one show a year. And then one match on regular shows.
That's fair.
You know, like, it's at what point are they going to go, like, WrestleMania Night 1 is for the women, WrestleMania Night 2 is for the men?
That would be cool.
is that what makes it fair? So it's tricky. Like, I mean, Paul doesn't know. What was the gate? What was the viewers from Netflix? That the conversation's way bigger than us just being like, fuck, we loved it, because we all really loved it.
Yeah.
But we should be loving a women's match when it comes on every time. And it's weird that I'm sounding like that guy, because usually I talk all the fucking shit. But it's tough, but I agree. Like, I mean, at what point do you stop calling it Evolution and give it a better name?
Yeah, that's fair. The name's not great.
Like, I think we can do something better with that name. Like, we've evolved again. You're like, yeah, you got some real fucking kick-ass talent now.
Yeah.
Like, and NXT has got even more kick-ass talent. Like, some of the show-outs of, like, Lash Legend,
she
really
was awesome.
Really fucking awesome. Like, if you were wanting a party for, like, hey, like, this is the next one, Lash Legend was the luckiest.
Yeah.
Coming out of the tunnel.
She did great, too, in the Rumble. She was awesome in the Rumble. Yeah. I think, was she Final Four, Final Five in the Rumble as well?
No, she didn't get that far.
No?
But, okay. Anyway.
Oh, fuck me. Scott just shut up so quick. Get him, Tom.
Is that all it takes to shut him up?
Yeah. Remind him how he's good at, like, seeing the trajectory of wrestlers, too. Yeah. You know what? Finn Balor is apparently a fucking winner, so they've been listening to the podcast like, shut these fuckers up. Still a fucking loser to me, Finn.
Speaking of listening to the podcast, how about we bring back something we haven't done for a while.
Oh, what do we got?
That is the Tom Pop quiz for you guys.
Oh, here we go.
And this might be one of my favorite questions that I've got on my list.
That's great. I'm like 0 for 100 on these questions, but here we go.
So I'm going to throw six names at you.
Yeah.
And they all have one thing in common.
Okay.
What is that thing?
Okay.
So the names are Giant Baba, Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart, Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio, and Juventud Guerrera.
Oh, my God. Is it all a promotion they were in?
Nope.
Have they all wrestled a similar person?
Nope. Well, yes, but that's not the answer.
Okay. Is it revolving around a championship?
Nope.
Does it have anything to do with Canadian wrestling?
No.
I'm drawing a blank. I'm going to go.
Yeah, me too.
First ballot Hall of Famers. I don't fucking know.
They all got their first 5-star match from Meltzer in the same year.
Jesus. Where'd you dig that one out of?
Year was 1994.
Giant Baba had a 5-star match in 1994.
Yeah.
Apparently so.
And Tom is a big fan of Uncle Dave, apparently. Subscribes to the newsletter.
Fucking crook. He is a fucking crook.
He's a crook. How dare he?
That is a fun fact.
That's fun fact.
Yeah, that is a fun fact.
Pop Quiz is back. Are we at the main event? What I've been waiting for all night. I think Scotty has words. And I'm excited because I like to jam words back in his fucking face because he's such a bitch and just loves things like Bill fucking Goldberg. So tell me your thoughts, Scott, on Bill Goldberg after Saturday night main event, Saturday Night Raw. How did you enjoy it?
How did you enjoy
Bill Goldberg?
I enjoyed the Bill Goldberg versus Gunther match. We got a 15-minute match. Nobody saw that coming.
No, we did not. We got a 2-minute match and 12 minutes of fucking commercials.
We got a 12-minute match.
Wow.
With 10 minutes of commercials.
We got a long Goldberg match for Goldberg match's sake. Okay. Obviously, Goldberg passes out, loses the match, and then Gunther leaves the match very quickly afterwards, and Goldberg gets on the mic, says some nice things. They're already over the top of the hour, so they're way past due. So the feed gets cut, and we go on to local news on NBC. Goldberg is not happy about it. He is pissed right off about
fuck off, Bill.
The TV.
Who gives a fuck?
He was on Ariel Helwani this week saying that there's not enough thought put into his retirement and his retirement night and his retirement speech and all this shit. He sounds
no one gives a fuck, Bill.
He sounds like a whiny bitch. Now I'm going to do a quick timeline here of Goldberg and WWE.
All right, great.
He joins in like 2003, has that 1 year run, ends in 2004 at Mania with him and Brock Lesnar both leaving. Within 2003, he's the champion a little bit. A lot of people feel that he shouldn't have had to drop the belt to Triple H at the time that he did, and that cut the legs out from Bill. And then after that 1 year, he's done. He's had enough of the Fed. No, it doesn't like it. Comes back in 2016, faces Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series, beats Brock Lesnar in a minute and a half. And then the follow-up.
Don't remind me of the stupidest fucking thing.
I know. I'm just the timeline. At Fastlane the following year, 2017, beats Kevin Owens for the Universal Championship, then drops it to
Brock. That was the stupidest fucking thing.
Quite dumb. Drops it to Brock at Mania a month or two later. Makes After that, 2018, goes into the Hall of Fame. At the Hall of Fame, the night goes so fucking long that 90% of the wrestlers left by the time Goldberg hit the stage. So at this point, I'm very much like, I could see why Goldberg's feeling a little sad that things aren't going great for his WWE run, career, whatever you want to call it. 2019.
So bad for Bill Goldberg. Fuck off.
2019 is the horrible match in Saudi against Undertaker where he knocks himself out before he even leaves the fucking locker room. Also,
he's a fucking idiot.
That's SummerSlam. He feels bad because I believe that was supposed to be his last match. Didn't go well, so they threw him Dolph Ziggler at SummerSlam. That was kind of fun. He does a Goldberg match with Dolph. If you ever heard Dolph Ziggler talk about Bill Goldberg, I don't think it was very fun for Dolph. He hates Bill Goldberg. Jump to the pandemic.
You know who else hates Bret?
Is it Bret Hart?
It's Bret Hart.
Jump to the pandemic right before everything shuts down. He beats The Fiend for the Universal Championship, only to lose it at WrestleMania a couple months later in a warehouse to Braun Strowman. Nobody's paying attention. No one's celebrating Goldberg for beating The Fiend. Everyone's shitting on that match after that.
He should not have beaten the fucking Fiend. That's why. That was so stupid.
Agreed. After that, he loses to Drew McIntyre, loses to Bobby Lashley, loses to Bobby Lashley again, or beats Bobby Lashley, loses to Roman in 2022. And then we get Saturday Night's main event. Leading up till everything to Saturday Night's main event, I understand why Bill hasn't loved his WWE career. I've understand it. Things have always gone wrong, always gone bad. Vince didn't love him. He's a WCW guy. I can see it. Saturday Night's main event happens. They give him like a good month buildup, and he's facing the world heavyweight champion in his hometown. His grown-up son walks him to the ring. Everything's in place for Bill to have a
Who
nice
fucking cares?
Send-off. Right? Like, what are you getting at?
Then at the end of all of this, he goes on Ariel Helwani, rips the WWE, shits on everything that the WWE did, that the company did, that they didn't have to do, but because Vince gave him his word, we will give you one last match. And now he's shitting all over it. And Bill's saying, wait 2 weeks when I can finally speak freely, then you'll really know my feelings. Fuck you, Bill Goldberg. They laid out the red carpet for you. And you're mad that they gave you a send-off in your hometown with your family in the front row. You're mad that NBC cut off the feed, not the WWE, not Peacock, not Netflix. Fucking NBC had to cut that show off to get to the next program because you were already late. They've done everything for you to give you the send-off that you wanted, and you fucked it up for the most part. This was just a timing issue. Nobody didn't take care of you. Everyone took care of you. They put the whole thing up on the internet for people to watch your final speech, and millions more people will see it on the fucking Twitter and YouTube than they would on NBC, and you're still not happy? Fuck you, Bill Goldberg. I'm done trying to defend you, pal. I really am. I was looking forward to this match. I enjoyed the match. Everything since then has been downhill. Fuck Bill Goldberg.
Fuck Good. Bill Goldberg.
Bill Goldberg.
And fuck you, Scotty, for taking this long to say fuck you, Bill Goldberg.
No, I needed to lay out why why I've been defending him for so long.
And
he's had a shitty run in WWE, and I understood it. I got it. I also understand why people hate him, and Bret Hart fucking hates his guts. I got all that. But Goldberg, the character, was cool and fun to watch in the Attitude Era. And he's not an open racist like Hulk Hogan is. He's not a piece of shit. But right now, Bill Goldberg fucking sucks.
The other thing is, Bill Goldberg can't talk. Nobody wants to hear his fucking retirement speech. Bret Hart, the day after his fucking stroke, can cut a better promo than Goldberg.
Damn.
If you watch Bill Goldberg...
A lot of feelings here.
If you watch Goldberg on Ariel Helwani, Bill, I know you're listening. First of all, thank you. Second...
Fuck you, Bill. If you're listening, welcome. This is wrestling.
Mike says,
thanks for listening. Fuck you.
I'm going to give you the best advice any man can give another man. It's okay to cry. Just cry. I know you just want to cry. It's okay.
You know, the
feelings are hurt. Your feelings are hurt, and it happens. In the very strong words of Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting, it's not your fault.
It is Bill Goldberg's fault. It is Bill Goldberg's fault.
That motherfucker got paid millions of dollars. I don't feel sorry for him one tiny little fucking bit.
Not even a little bit.
To end on a good note, though, the first wrestler for Papa UK to try and work out what their name is being sent to him this week.
Amazing.
Oh, here we go.
That's much better news.
It'll be on the show next week.
Much better news.
This is the In My House Pro Wrestling Podcast. Good night.
Bitch. Welcome to my house. Play that music too loud. Show me what you do now. We don't have to go out. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. Welcome to my house. It's my house. Yowie wowie.